Operator. Operator, will you please give me the correct time?
Certainly, sir. It's Joan Davis time.
Sure. It's Joan Davis time.
Well, there's no question about it. From coast to coast, it's Joan Davis time. Joan Davis tonight, you'll hear the voice of her special guest, that very popular and laugh-provoking answer to everybody's $64 question, Gary Moore. Plus a great supporting cast featuring Lionel Sander, Hans Conried, Florence Halep, Gail Bonney, the music of John Rarick's orchestra, the Choral Air Singing Quintet, and yours sincerely, Ben Gates. Our singing group greets Joan with glee and tells her, you were meant for me. Queen of comedy, Joan Davis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Joanie. Well, friends, it seems that Joan Davis has been keeping a secret from all of us. For the past few weeks, she's been taking a correspondence course in nursing, and she feels very confident of eventual success. After all, Joanie asked herself, what does a woman need to become a nurse? Well, first she needs a tender heart.
Yes, and I got a tender heart.
She needs a strong body.
I got a strong body.
She needs a fine brain.
I got a strong body. Guys, I'm really excited about becoming a nurse, and the course only cost me $25, and you should see what I learned. Now I can prepare I know how to bandage Say, maybe I should have taken the $50 course. But you know, the thing I like about nursing is that I'm doing something really important. You see, I'm not the type of girl who can be happy just working around a tea room in a pair of slacks. I'm not built that way. Anyhow, I got my nurse's diploma from the Acme Correspondence School, and nothing can discourage me. Not even Lionel's sarcastic remarks.
But honest, boys, how can you become a real nurse by mail?
Well, why not? For your information, we worked with actual patients who had real ailments. The Acme Correspondence School would send a letter with the symptoms, and we'd rush a letter back with the treatment we thought the patient should get. Unfortunately, my patient died.
Yeah, what did he die of?
Insufficient postage. But you're not going to talk me out of being a nurse. Medicine is a wonderful profession, and I want to be part of it.
Well, honestly, I can't blame you for feeling that way, boss. Medicine is a noble calling. The things it's done. Why, did you know that the Panama Canal couldn't even be built till the doctors found the cure for yellow fever? The place was full of it.
Well, gosh, if the place was full of yellow fever, why did they build a Panama Canal in Panama?
They had to. Property was too high in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Certainly. Look, boys. I know there's still a shortage of nurses and you're trying to help, but think of the patient.
What about the patient?
Well, let's take a hypothetical case.
It's simple or compound?
What's the difference?
That's what I say. What's the difference?
Now, look.
I shouldn't even have mentioned it.
Some poor guy's just been operated on. The ether is wearing off.
Yes?
He's coming out of shock.
Yes.
Suddenly, he sees the face of his nurse bending over. Your face. Wham! He's back in shock again.
Oh, Lionel, that's not true. I'll be a source of comfort to my patients. I'll arouse in them the will to live and the courage to get well. Oh, I can just see myself with the patients. Rodney. Oh, Rodney, my poor sick patient.
Yes, Nurse Davis, old heifer.
Rodney, this may hurt a little. I don't have an anesthetic to give you.
Oh, that's quite all right, old girl. When you look at me with your soft blue eyes, you give me courage I've never had before. Who needs an anesthetic? I'll take my aspirin without one.
Oh, gosh, Lionel, thanks for getting in the mood with me.
Oh,
for a minute there, I felt like I was a real Florence Nightingale. Well, so long. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Oh, I put in an application for a nurse's position with the city hospital, and now I got an appointment to see Dr. Heinrich Schnitzel. He's the head of the staff.
Well, go ahead, but all I can say is that if you're going to be a nurse at a big hospital, sickness is going to be more dangerous than ever.
Schnitzel, I'm Joan Davis, applying for the nurse's position.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Glad to meet you, Miss Davis. Please pardon my rubber gloves.
Oh, rubber gloves. Did you just come from surgery?
No, I was just washing out a pair of socks.
Well, gee, it would be wonderful working for a doctor like you, Dr. Schnitzel. I've heard you've got degrees from all over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've studied at Vienna, Prague, Heidelberg. Oh, but Vienna was the best. I never forget my student days in gay, laughing Vienna.
Say, Doc, how come Vienna's always gay and laughing?
A gland condition. The beer stupid. Everywhere you go is lager on Wiener Weizen. Yeah. I never forget my first operation. Scalpel, forceps, sponge, beer, cotton, gauze, suture, bretzels. Breathing regular, pulse was time.
Well, was the operation successful?
Oh, sure was successful. The patient died, but what a gay laughing time we had. Well, let's get down to business. Tell me about your background as a nurse.
Well, excuse me, Dr. Schnitzel. Have you heard the good news?
Please, quick, I'm busy. Tell me what you came to tell me.
It's a boy in Mrs. Brown's room.
But I left Arthur. She should have no visitors. Throw him out.
Doctor, you don't understand. He just arrived.
I don't care when he got here. Throw him out.
But, Doctor, he can't even walk.
Then sober him up and throw him out. Now, beat it slowly.
Yes, Doctor.
Fine thing. A woman is expecting a baby and they're letting a boy in her room. Well, head it back to you. Miss Davis, where did you study your nursing? What hospital?
Oh, no hospital. I studied by mail.
By mail? That's ridiculous. Nobody can be a mail order nurse. Who sent you here? The dead letter office?
But, gosh, I know everything I'm supposed to know.
Impossible. A good nurse should know almost as much about the human body and how it works as a doctor. However, I will test you. First, the digestive system. Now, what happens when you eat a meatball?
With or without onions.
What a nincompoop you are. What a nincompoop. That would be $5, please.
You mean I'm supposed to give you $5 for telling me I'm a nincompoop?
Certainly. You don't think a big doctor like me makes a diagnosis for nothing? Please, Miss Davis, go away. You are no nurse.
Oh, gee, Dr. Schnitzel, give me a chance. I'd make a great nurse. I love humanity. People. Iodine. And besides, I'm the kind of a nurse a patient needs. I got a very sympathetic face.
Why shouldn't you have a sympathetic face? Probably sorry for it, then. I'll go away and become a babysitter or something. Goodbye.
Dr. Schnitzel brushed me off and I didn't get the job.
Oh, too bad, boss.
Oh, he wouldn't know a good nurse anyway.
Oh, you're wrong. I happen to know that Schnitzel is a fine old doctor. Why, he's been wearing that uniform for over 30 years.
It's about time he had it washed.
Boss, you wouldn't have gotten that job even if you was a good nurse. It's politics.
Politics?
Sure. Practically all them city jobs in this town are controlled by Mayor Newbold's Square Deal Party, which in turn is controlled by the political boss, Honest Gary Moore. Nobody gets a city job unless Honest Gary Moore okays it.
Well, I'll go see Honest Gary Moore and ask him to help me.
Don't be silly. You couldn't get near him. Give it up, boss. There are too many obstacles.
I won't give up, Lionel. In spite of the obstacles, I'll have a career. I'll show him. After all, look at Madame Curry. In spite of everything, she showed him. And Claire Luce, she showed him. And Madame Chiang Kai-shek, she showed him. And Gypsy Rose Lee, she got there too, you know.
Tony took a nursing course. She seemed to be quite sure she'd make the world a happy one. If ailments she would cure. Though she is eager and most willing, her prescription will need filling. She will need some penicillin when she meets with Gary Moore. But in the meantime, lend an ear to this. If he grows fonder beyond city limits, then he makes love to shove him away. If he still spoons till the moon's getting dim, it's shawty, oh, shawty, oh, shawty, oh, shay. Children are dead with our lady's life, this is time for shawty, oh, shay. And though he's quite a roué, they go for shawty, oh, shay. Young and gay, old and gray, they obey, he will stay quite any man. He makes the most of it, cause O'Shea likes to play to the grandstand. Better be where he's as fair as a bubble. Looking his way, turns the day to a yay. Making each heart come to burn into...
to get the job of nurse at the city hospital, her friend Lionel convinced her that it was not caused by her own incompetence, but blamed the town's political system instead. So Joni's on her way over to demand the job from the big boss of the town's political machine, Honest Gary Moore. But what Joan doesn't know is that Honest Gary Moore's square deal party is losing its power. A group of civic-minded citizens have organized a reform party and are running their own candidate for mayor. And at this very moment, Honest Gary is having a worried discussion with a fellow square dealer.
Now, look, Honest Gary.
Yes, Honest Stanislaus.
The situation is getting desperate. The reform group is getting stronger every day.
Yeah, I don't know why I ever let him persuade me to elect that dope Newbold as mayor of this town. He's got the heart of a bird and a brain to match.
I don't know, boss. Mayor Newbold's done some good things. Just so the people could have cheap water power. Didn't he have a great big dam built?
Well, yes, but don't you think he should have first found out there was no river to go with it? It seems so to me. The reaction to that was nationwide. Only today I got calls about it from Honest Dan in Detroit, Honest Chuck in Chicago, Honest Pete in Peoria, Honest Oscar in Oshkosh, and Crooked Sam in Seattle.
How come he calls himself Crooked Sam?
He's the only one of us who's honest. Anyway, they all say the same thing. There's a lot of pressure from the women voters to clean up politics. Now, if we try to re-elect Mayor Newbold, we'll be up Frenchman's Creek without a poodle.
French poodle, that is. So the whole election seems to hinge on the women's vote,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Gosh, who would ever think that women would become this important?
Oh, of course women are important. They're very important. In fact, they serve a very definite purpose. Without women, we wouldn't have ladies' night at the Turkish bath. Christ wouldn't have Portia facing it. And on the Doctor IQ program, they'd be saying, I got a nothing in the balcony, Doctor.
You're right, Chief. Women are important. But that's not getting us their vote. What are we going to do?
Well, it all depends on the candidate we put up. Now, what sort of a candidate would a woman vote for? Wait a minute, that's obvious. Another woman.
A woman candidate for mayor? You think of a wife?
Why, certainly. I can see the whole thing. I've even got a campaign slogan. Remember that old campaign slogan the Republicans once used? Two chickens for every pot?
Yeah, what about it?
With a woman running, we'll change it to two girdles for every pot.
That should bring him in.
That sounds great, Chief. You're great. You're wonderful.
I know it.
The important thing is to put up a woman we can control. Some dame who's stupid enough to let us stay in the driver's seat, see? And we got to find a dame who's not too good-looking, not too young... And especially one who's very dumb.
Chief, we really got to be awful careful. You know, it'd be terrible if we put up the wrong dame.
Look, Stanislaus, I know women. When I spot the dame stupid enough to be our mayor, I'll know her immediately.
Excuse me, I'm Joan Davis.
Well, come right in, Your Honor. Here, have a chair. Sit down.
Oh, no thanks. I'm looking for Honest Gary Moore.
Well, I'm Honest Gary Moore.
You are? Honest.
Double cross my heart.
Gee, a real live politician. You know, you look different than I thought you would.
I suppose you pictured me as an older man with very little hair on top, eh?
Yeah, and I was right.
Well, there are a lot of mistaken ideas about politicians. For example, we politicians are supposed to kiss babies, but we never do.
Oh, no. Well, I went to a newsreel and saw Governor Dewey making a speech. He bent over to take a bow, and three babies fell out of his mustache.
Probably planted there by the Democrats. Now, my little dandelion, and I use the term dandelion in reference to your stems. What can I do for you?
Well, I came to see you about a city job. I need your help.
I see. Excuse me a moment. Say, Stanislaus, come here.
Yes, Chief.
Stanislaus, this is the woman we're going to run for mayor.
But, Chief, are you sure she's dumb enough?
Are you kidding? Look at her standing there counting her fingers and getting a different answer every time.
You know, we can't afford to take no chances. Better give her the same unintelligence test we give Mayor Newbold.
Okay. Oh, Miss Davis, before we can get you the job I have in mind, there are a few questions I'd like to ask you.
Oh, sure, anything at all, it's all so.
Miss Davis, how much are two and two?
Two and two what?
Well, anything. Two and two apples.
No, I'm allergic to apples. Better make it oranges.
Okay, look, if you had two oranges and I gave you two more oranges, how much would it be?
About $2, the way prices are.
Oh,
aren't you going to applaud?
No. Miss Davis, I suppose you know some little something about domestic affairs.
Oh, sure. I hope Winston Rockefeller will be very happy.
Oh, that's fine. But I'm trying to find out if you know anything about politics. Now, tell me, let me see. Oh, what do you think of the Iron Curtain?
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. It saves washing. Yeah, I ought to sell a lot of them. But look, Mr. Moore, what about my job? I took a course in nursing, and I want to be a nurse for the city.
A nurse? Why, Miss Davis, you can render a far greater service to this fair city of ours. I want you to run for mayor. Will you do it?
Well, I can't. I'm busy all this week. Mayor?
Yep.
Me mayor?
Yes, I can
mayor me.
Yes, I can
me mayor.
Yes.
Yes, I can promise me the
mayor.
Yes. Oh,
man. I'll attempt this once more. Yes. I can promise you the support of every independent voter, right down to the last repeater.
But I don't know anything about being a mayor. I'm a civilian.
Miss Davis, would you pass up a chance to serve the city you love? The city that means everything to you? The city that you die for?
Look, I'm not dead.
Well, then move once in a while and keep me posted, will you? Anyhow, I'm sure you'd make a great mayor. Wouldn't she, Stanislaus?
Oh, yeah. Say, boss, Honest Jim is on the phone from Jamaica.
Now, be right with him. Now, now, Miss Davis, I want you to think this over. Why don't you relax for just a little while? I'll be back in a few minutes for your answer.
Gosh, just think me. Joan Davis, mayor. Imagine me running the city, a political power. Well, I'll walk down the street and they'll say, there goes Joan Davis, who used to be just a stupid nobody. And now she's mayor. And it hasn't changed her a bit. And then maybe if I'm a successful mayor, I could go on and be governor of the state. And then maybe president. The first woman president. Gee, all this excitement is... sure tired me out. Ooh, but it would be wonderful if I was the first woman president. Ooh, me, Joan Davis, president. President? Me?
Good evening, listeners. Late election returns indicate that the Woman's Party, headed by candidate Joan Davis, is way out ahead and is almost assured of election. As a result of this news, stocks have dropped 2 more points and prices have dropped 3 more inches.
My fellow Americans, if I become the first woman president, I promise you that there will be lace curtains in every post office in America.
general election returns, today, for the first time in our history, women have swept into every important position in the country. And so tonight, as a tribute to the new power of women and our new president, Joan Davis, there flies from the White House flagpole a two-way stretch.
My fellow Americans, I wish to thank you for electing me to the high office of president. My first official act as your new president was to get to work on the labor situation. I've already been in conference with the head of the United Women Mine Workers Union, Jane L. Lewis. All I can say at this time is that dame ought to pluck her eyebrows.
Good evening. This is your news commentator, Harriet von Kaltenborn. Well, our new win president, Joan Davis, has been in office 3 months now, and she's doing scrumptiously. Yes, scrumptiously. Very scrumptiously. Ah, yes. Last week at a cocktail party, the British ambassadress Lady Duff Nottingham arrived wearing the same hat as our lovely president. As you women know, that's just an open declaration of war. However, Madam President used great tact and diplomacy. She sidestepped the issue by fainting dead away. Ah, yes, our president is a wonderful woman. And she's also fortunate in having a husband as lovely as the first man of the land, Gary Moore. Oh, yes. I can almost see them seated in the White House parlor. Oh, yes.
Joni Boney, may I talk to you for a moment?
What is it, Gary boy?
Do you realize we haven't had a chance to be alone since you were elected president?
Oh, I know, but I've been so busy with things. I'm in a mess with the budget. $10 billion off, so please don't bother me.
But, darling, there's something bothering me.
Oh, Getty boy, please don't annoy me. Now, what did I do with that $2 billion worth of war material?
I know you didn't have it with you when you left the house this morning.
Let's see. Did I lend those war materials to Turkey or Greece?
Well, it's easy to find out, dear. Just declare war on both of them, and whichever country shoots back, that's the one.
Oh, Gary, you're so clever. Run over to the mint and print yourself a bonus.
Steve, honey, why don't we go away somewhere for the weekend, just the two of us? We'll have lots of laughs.
Don't be silly. For laughs, we'd have to take Congress along.
Dear, I must talk to you about us. And you're always so busy. What kind of a president are you? Do you realize you haven't touched your piano for over a month now?
Well, you know, Getty boy, a president's work is never done.
You know, darling, sometimes I think we were a lot happier back in Kansas City when you ran that little lingerie shop. Don't answer that, darling. I want to talk to you.
But, dear, I'm sorry. I'm the president.
Now, look, I've been trying to talk to you for days. I know I'm only a man, but I've got some rights. Now, look, honey, I want you to know...
Come in, if you're important.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I must see the president at once. I am Heinrich von Schnitzel, the ambassador from Bisonia.
I'm the president. What do you want?
If certain matters are not straightened out at once, there's going to be a war between your country and my country.
Sir, are you threatening the United States?
Yeah, I was... This is the United States?
Yes.
Himmel, did I get on the wrong boat?
Bisonia. Never heard of it. Oh, well, maybe I'll make a goodwill tour there sometime.
Darling, after you hear what I've got to tell you, I don't think you'll want to travel.
What is it, Getty boy?
I've been trying to tell you. You see, what I mean is...
Yes?
We're going to have a little third party.
Boy, that's wonderful. A third party. And if it's a boy, we'll call it Henry. Oh,
God. Oh, darling, I'm so happy I could put my arms around you and hug you and kiss you and squeeze you.
Oh, Getty, don't, please. You're shaking me. Stop. Stop, I tell you, stop.
Miss Davis, stop. Miss Davis, wake up.
Sir,
wake up, wake up.
Oh, it's you. Gosh, Mr. Moore, did I just have an unusual dream?
An unusual dream?
Yeah, I dreamed I was president.
What's unusual about that dream? Taft has them all the time. Now, about your running for mayor.
Look, Mr. Moore, I think you better forget about me running for any political office. I've had all the nightmares I can take.
But, Miss Davis, just think, when you're elected mayor, wealthy, handsome men will gather around you seeking your favors, while they'll throw themselves at your feet. Every night they'll wine you and dine you, filling your pockets with gold and your slippers with champagne.
Gee, just imagine men throwing parties for me and drinking champagne from my slippers. Every night, champagne from my slippers. Boy, I'll have the only big toe in town that belongs to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Joni will be back in a minute, but while she's gone, here's something well worth remembering. Earlier this evening, Joni and her cast were having fun talking about Joni's so-called course in nursing. But now, if we may, we'd like to say something serious on this subject. Because Joni and all of us believe that there's no finer career for bright, alert young women these days than nursing. It's a career that offers a chance for wonderful service, along with challenging work in association with the finest people in the community. The nursing field offers a professional education that embraces unusual studies, including psychology, sociology, and child care. A student nurse enjoys pleasant dormitory life with girls of her own age. She works with doctors and graduate nurses. Fine, devoted, professional people with a high sense of duty and purpose. To qualify for this rewarding and stimulating career, a girl must be of good health and character, a high school graduate or a college student. Qualified girls who want to know more about how they may become nurses should apply at their nearest hospital at once. Now here's Joni again.
Well, Gary, it's always a real pleasure to have you visit with us.
Well, thanks, Joan. I just hope you keep inviting me.
You know, Gary, I wasn't really fooling tonight about my interest in nursing.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. At one time, I intended to become a nurse. I come from a medical family, you know.
You do? Well, I do, too. My grandfather was a real horse and buggy doctor. He had quite a few patients, too. 6 horses and 4 buggies.
Well, in my family, where did you get a load of this one?
Come here.
In my family, it was my Uncle Sylvester who was the doctor.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was quite a surgeon, too, until an unfortunate thing happened. It seems he was about to sew up a patient after an operation when he found he was all out of surgical thread.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead, he sewed the patient up with some knitting wool.
Well, what happened?
The patient took a bath, the wool shrank, and now the man walks sitting down. Well, good night, Gary. We're even. And good night now. I'm so glad.
There's more good fun and music coming at you next week, coast to coast, when Joni's special guest will be that popular singing star, Kenny Baker. So remember, if anybody asks you what time it is next week at this time, tell them it's Joan Davis time.
Joan Davis time!
By the way, we wonder if you knew Susie was coming to town. Joan Davis Time is produced and directed by Dick Mack and is written by Arthur Sander and Larry Marks with Chet Caslaw and Nate Mollison. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week. The Columbia Broadcasting System.